Shalamu vracha to all. Welcome back to Torah Adi Mecha Nachio Miwit Oyuman's Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz, and today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim. We're up to Perek Yud Aleph. So in Perek Yud Aleph, we meet the next leader slash shofet, another very dramatic perek, very sad perek, a historical perek as well. So the last thing we saw is that the B'nai Yisrael say, who will be the one who will rule over us, who will lead us to victory over the B'nai Ammon. The answer comes in Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. V'yiftar ha-Giladi ha-Yagibar Chayel. V'hu ben ish zona. V'yoled Gilad as Yiftach. We're introduced to Yiftach from Gilad. He was a mighty warrior, Gibar Chayel. However, he was the son of a zona. Now, what does it mean he was the son of a zona? So according to the Pasha Pshat, he was the son of a zona, a harlot, a promiscuous woman. However, Steindl's Nevi'im says some commentaries suggest a gentler interpretation. She, his mother, was from a different tribe, as marriage between members of different tribes was contrary to the accepted custom at that time. So perhaps he's not actually the son of a zona, but it calls her a zona to indicate that they went against the practice of the time, and she was from a different tribe, I should say. Now, what happens? Gilad's wife gives birth to many children for him, and they all grow up, and they banish Yiftach. Remember, Yiftach is the Giladi from a zona. So the sons from the primary wife all banish Yiftach, and they say, you know what? You will not have any inheritance along with us in the household of our father, because you are from a different woman. So Yiftach has to run away. Vayivrach Yiftach mipneecha v'yeshiv beretz tov v'yiskaltu el Yiftach anashim riki v'yetzim al Yiftach has to run away from his brothers, and he dwells in the land of Tov, like good, Tov. So interestingly, what is this land of Tov? According to one opinion, according to Talmud Yerushalmi, Tov is Susya in the southeast Golan Heights. And misfits join along with him, idle people, random people. He is an outcast. And other outcasts join along with him. The next segment. Okay, wait. Pasuk Dalet. Vayihim yamim vayilachmu b'nei Ammon u'Misrael. The children of Israel are having a problem. The sons of Ammon, the nation of Ammon, is battling against them, and they have no one to. They are being subjugated and they're being oppressed, and they have no one to help them win over Ammon. And I found the next section very compelling. Pesukim Hey through Yud Aleph. The humility of Yiftach is astounding and astonishing. And it's a tremendous lesson that we learn. And perhaps this is why he is one of the rulers, even though at the end of the parak he makes a catastrophic error. It's very, very interesting to see his humility. Pasuk, hey, they know he is a Gibor Chayil. Actually, we were introduced to him as a mighty warrior. The Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Beis that Yiftach the Giladi was a Gibor Chayil. And now they don't know what to do. They can't win over the B'nai Ammon. So it was when the B'nai Ammon were fighting with Yisrael in Pasuk Hey, and the elders of Gilad go to bring Yiftach back from the land of Tov. Vayom li Yiftach l'cha, v'yisrael l'nu the katzin, please be our chieftain. V'nilchama b'nei Ammon, and with you as our chieftain, we will fight against the B'nai Ammon. Vayom li Yiftach l'ziknei Gilad, hello, atem sanesimosi? He says, what? Excuse me? Are you the very people who hated me? Are you the ones who kicked me out of my father's household? Why did you come to me now? What? What's going on here? Like, why have you come to me? And really what he could say is, go fight your own battles. The fight with Ammon is not my problem. You should have appreciated me before. Now you need me, so now you come to me. Why did you come to me now? Because you're having tzaros, so now you came to me. They say, you know what? Now, ato, with an ayin, we have returned to you. And here, to me, is indicative. Shavnu is, of course, we were teshuvah. We have repented. We have come back to you. Whether their motives were with repentance and pure or not, I'm not sure, but they themselves confess that they have done wrong by kicking him out, and they want him back. V'halachti imanu, please come with us. V'nechamta b'nei Ammon, and then we'll be able to fight with Ammon. V'hayisu lanu the rosh, the chol yoshvei Gilad. You know what? We will be in charge of the entire region of Gilad. V'yomer yiftech al zeknei Gilad, im mishivim atam osi l'alachem b'nei Ammon, v'nasan shem osam l'fanai, anochi alacham rosh. Yiftech says, okay, I'm going to come with you. I will return and fight if you restore me to make more with the children of Ammon, and Hashem delivers them before me. I'll be chief over you. Now, some of you could argue he wasn't so humble. He just wants a position of power. It's true, but it's very possible that by living in Tov with the group of misfits who joined, he could have had a position of power. He could have taken power for himself, whether he could have vandalized and took revenge against the people who kicked him out, or he could have found some other way by violence to take control of the region. The reality is, to me, he did not have to agree to go with them. If they're in trouble with Amon, he could have said, you made your bed, you lay in your bed now, you want to come to me? That's not what he says. So perhaps there is some personal motivation because he will be the chieftain over them, but on the other hand, he agrees to help the very people who kicked him out. The people of Gilead say, Hashem will be the witness between us, and he will attest if we do not act according to your word, meaning we will act according to your word. Yiftach goes with the elders of Gilead, and the nation places him over them as a head and a chieftain. Yiftach is called Varav of Hashem b'mitzvah. Yiftach now is restored position of prominence, and he will lead them over the war with Amon, and Yiftach spoke his words before the Lord, before Hashem at Mitzpah. So Israel was encamped there. He comes back as a chieftain and he speaks before them. Also, I want to point out Yiftach is a contraction of Yod Patach. So Yod Patach, Yud stands for Shem Hashem Patach, Yiftach, he opened up the path before Hashem. He spoke on behalf of Hashem. The problem is at the end of the parak, this very same Yiftach, who is a Gibur Chayil and humble and goes to help the people who kicked him out, ultimately makes a terrible mistake. Vayishach Yiftach Malachim Amalach Ben Amon. Oh, so that's the first thing. Even though they kick him out, he agrees to help them. I find that very moving and very humbling. Even if he had some small ulterior motive, he could have still taken power for himself with this group of misfits. He was clearly a mighty warrior. He agreed to help the people who kicked him out. So that's lesson number one. A person has to be humble enough to hear when someone apologizes and asks us for forgiveness and returns and repents. And even if they've aggrieved us, we have to find it in our heart. Hashem Patach. We have to open up our hearts in the path of God to make reconciliation with people. The next part of the parak is so powerful. Whoa. It is so timeless. Here we are. Up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayishach Yiftach Malachim Amalach B'nei Amon Limer. Ma'ali V'loch. Ki Basa Eilai L'Yachem B'Artzi. Yiftach sends messengers, not angels, messengers to the land of B'nei Amon. He says, what's going on here? What's between me and between you? Why are you coming to fight in my land? Yiftach says to B'nai Amon, why are you coming to fight against us in our own land? Listen to the next Pasuk. Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Melech B'nai Amon al Malachai Yiftach, ki lakach Yisrael es arzi, v'alos hami Mitzrayim, me'arnon, v'ara Yabok, v'ara Yardin, v'ata Hashiva ashen b'shalom. Is this the days of Shvot HaShoftim? Or is it modern times? And the enemy says, what? You want to know why we came to wage war against you? And the king of Ammon says to the messengers of Yiftach, Ki lakach Yisrael es artzi, Israel stole my land. Ba'aloso mimitzrayim. And they came out from Egypt, from the Arnon to the Yabuk to the Yarden. If you want peace, return my lands to me. I mean, you could just put this over the UN building today. You could just put this at the International Court of Justice at The Hague. Maybe that should be their banner. Why are you fighting against us? Israel stole our lands. Yosef od Yiftach vayishalach malachim al melech b'nei Amon. Yiftach continues. He continues to communicate with them and he sends messengers. Vayomer lo ko amar Yiftach lo lakach Yisrael es eretz Moab ves eretz b'nei Amon. Yiftach says, excuse me, let me correct your political, historical inaccuracy. Israel did not steal any land. Pasuk Tes Zayin through Pasuk Chaf Vav, yeah. Tes Zayin through Chaf Vav, these 10, 11 psukim, Yiftach goes us through a history lesson. The reason I'm not going through the whole thing with you, you can read the psukim and learn through them, is because it's detailed, and I want to make sure we have time to talk about the end of the parak. But Yiftach goes through a whole history lesson about when Israel came out of Egypt, and the nations that did not allow them to pass through the land, and the nations that did not help them, and how Hashem was on our side, and Hashem gave us the territory. Ultimately, in Pasuk of Zayin, Yiftach says,
and
And Yiftach says, Pasuk of Zion, I have not sinned against you, meaning Israel has not attacked you. We have not done anything wrong to you. You are doing wrong to us to wage war against us. Hashem will judge today between Bnei Yisrael and between the land of Ammon. Pasuk of Ches. Below Shama Melech Bnei Ammon al Divrei Yiftach Asher Shalach Eilav. Unbelievable. No matter what the Jew says, to mark his claim, to say that you are historically inaccurate, nations of the world. This is our land, it is not your land. Just open the history books. Look what happened. They are not interested. It doesn't even go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't even go in at all. They have their own version of history. The version of history is Israel stole foreign lands, and they are not interested in hearing anything. And the king of this Bnei Ammon did not listen to the words of Yiftach that he sent to them. Lesson number one, the humility of Yiftach. Yes, maybe it was motivated by some political considerations, but he certainly could have taken power another way. He's humble enough to go with the very people who banish him, and it's a big Moshe Haskel for all of us. If we chas v'sham ha-mechokas with people in our lives, we have to try and be objective. And if we can't be objective, seek outside, whether it's the Das Torah that guides our lives or the wisdom of someone who is objective, and try to reconciliate with people who perhaps damage and harm us, if reconciliation is possible, of course, and not dangerous to our spiritual, emotional, physical, or religious well-being. Next lesson, the second section of the parak is just unbelievable. The nations of the world say, you stole our lands. And the Jews say, wow, we did not steal your lands. We have not done anything against you. Let me just give you a little bit of a history lesson. In fact, not only did we not steal our lands, you are aggrieving us. We are not aggrieving you. Yiftach is successful. From Mitzpeh Gilead, he passed to the children of Ammon, and he launches a military campaign. But before he launches this military campaign, Vayidur Yiftach Neder Lashem Vayomer. Yiftach, I think, is perhaps most famous for this. Yiftach makes an oath, a vow. Im nason titein es b'nei Ammon b'yadi. Gahaya hayote sheyeti malda mi dal se bi si the crossi b'shuvi b'sham b'nei Ammon v'yal Hashem. Alisuhu ola. Yiftach makes what is going to be a catastrophic declaration and oath. He says, Hashem, if you make me successful and you give the Bnei Ammon into my hands, whoever comes out of the door of my home to welcome me when I return in peace from the fight with Ammon, that first thing that crosses the door, the threshold of my door, will be for Hashem, and I will offer it as an ola offering. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayavar Yiftach al Bnei Ammon lilachem ba vayitnem Hashem biyado. So Yiftach is successful. He goes to fight against the Bnei Ammon, and Hashem gives the Bnei Ammon in his hands, and he smote the Bnei Ammon. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Pesukim, I should say, Lamed Dalet through Mem, at the end of the parak. And Yiftach comes to his home. Hine bito yotzei sekraso betupim ubimecholos. Just like Miriam and the woman who sang Shira by Yamsuf, his daughter, his only daughter, comes out to meet him with tambourines and dances. She is rejoicing over her father's victory. Viraki Yechida, Ein lo mimenu, Benobas. She is his only daughter. He has no other progeny. Vayikirosa osa vayikres begadav. And he was, when he sees her, he tears his clothing. Vayomer aha biti, woe, my daughter. My daughter, how could you have been the first one to come out of the house? I made a neder to Hashem. I opened my mouth. I cannot retract. Yiftach to patach Hashem. To God, I opened my mouth. And his daughter says, if you open your mouth to Hashem, you have to do what came out of your mouth. After Hashem has helped you take vengeance against your enemy, the Bnei Ammon. And she says to her father, please give me a window of time. Give me 2 months and I will go into the mountains and I will cry over my virginity, me and my friends. I'll cry over my state of virginity and that this will be the end of my life. I will die a virgin, a basula, and I will never have children. And he says to her, go, and he sends her away for 2 months, and she goes with her friends and she cries over her virginity in the mountains. And it was after the period of 2 months, she returns to her father. Vayaslo es nidro asher nadar. And he did to her in accordance with a vow that he vowed. V'hi lo yada ish, she never knew a man. V'atihi chok b'Yisrael. This became an established practice in Israel, not to sacrifice one's child. What was the established practice? Last pasuk. Miyamim yamima teilechna b'nos Yisrael l'sanos l'bas yiftach ha'giladi arbas yamim b'shana. An established practice was from year to year, the daughters of Israel would go to lament, to cry, to weep for the daughter of Yiftach the Giladi 4 days each year. Seinzel Novim explains this means generations of girls of that region will go to the hills to mourn the tragic fate of Yiftach's daughter. What's going on here? I'm going to quote from the Art School Novim. First of all, it has to be very clear in the time that we have, and even if we had a full length year, what happened here is beyond the scope of this today's year. However, according to the Art School Nevi'im, if a valid animal sacrifice appeared first, it would have become an offering. The question is, what was the legal status of his vow as it relates to his daughter? Among the sages, there are various interpretations of Yiftach's intention, whether his vow was valid or not with reference to the daughter, and what actually finally happened to her. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he was required to set aside the monetary value of his daughter for the purchase of offerings. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish holds the vow applied only to valid animals, but not to a human being. So it had no legal effect on his daughter. That's from Medrash Bereishis Rabba. It is clear from the narrative that Yiftach did not know the halacha, and he considered his vow to apply. Indeed, the sages criticized him harshly for being too proud to seek halacha guidance and use him as an example of the danger of piety without the knowledge of Torah. Another strong lesson. We should never assume to know what the halacha is. We must always ask our rabbanim and our leaders. On the other hand, and this is obviously an extremely horrific case, but in our situations, we have to make sure that we can't assume we know. On the other hand, Pinchas, the greatest man of the generation, is equally criticized by the sages for not taking an initiative to absolve Yiftach of his vow. Many commentators, including Ibn Ezra, Radak, Rabag, and Abarbanel, hold that since human sacrifice is forbidden, Yiftach carried out the vow by building his daughter a house where she lived in solitude and seclusion, in isolation, except for 4 days a year when her friends would visit to bemoan her fate. She was figuratively an offering, and that's how he fulfilled his vow in that manner. Ramban and Rabbi Bechaya differ. They argue no one, not even a parent, has the right to obligate restrictions upon another human being. So Yiftach's vow was not in any way binding on his daughter. Therefore, the above course of action had no halachic validity. Rather, Yiftach, whom the sages describe as a non-scholar, erroneously thought that as ruler he was authorized to impose his will, and therefore he was empowered to bring his daughter as an offering. In his ignorance, he literally did so, according to these scholars, Ramban and Ben Yechaya, and the sages criticize him severely. Many take-home lessons, historical, personal, tikkun hamidos, gaiva, lots to think about in this parak. Thank you for studying together. Ilui nishamot imotenu yikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Lael Sham, and Sarah Shankar, Lael Sham, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generation. Be'ezrat Hashem, I look forward to continuing our learning tomorrow. Kol tov, and thank you to all.